If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, let's start with it. I mean, 40 years. Can you? I've just come off the phone with Mark Barham, and he said the same. It's like he can't believe it was that long ago, and to him it feels like yesterday. So I'm sure for you, it's probably quite similar.
Yeah, you're right. I think it was last week, maybe, because we had one get together on anniversary, and I think it must have been the 30th. Mm. Yeah, it must have been 10 years ago, you know, that we got together. So that was good, you know. But that's gone in a flash as well. But yeah, you're right. It's hard, you know. You think, God, the game. What do you remember? You know, there's only bits and pieces. You know, strange. Well, I saw what was it the other week? A pal of mine phoned me up. It was just after the morning, about 10 or 11 o'clock, and they said, I've just seen you score a header on, I think it was, you know, the match of the day, or the match remember, the big match remember,
yes.
That was it.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it was just after the morning. He said, you just scored a great header. I said, what? He says, yeah. He said, at Main Road against Ouchies. I said, give over. I said, I had no recollection whatsoever. And, like, especially scoring headers, you know. I scored two or three, but, you know, it's not as if I was doing it week in, week out, you know, scoring headers, you know. So I eventually managed to see it, and I thought, Jesus, your memory plays.
It does, yeah. And I guess the fact that, you know, it's still being spoken about and people still want to speak about it after 40 years probably shows how big an achievement it was. Obviously, Norwich haven't won a major trophy since that point. So I guess in many ways it's kind of a bittersweet one, because you want Norwich to win more trophies, but equally it's the fact they haven't means that this one is still so special.
And it's obviously now, you know, the other clubs, you know, the big clubs are getting richer and richer and moving. So it's going to be so hard, if not impossible, for the likes of Norwich to win another cup, you know, because, you know, at that time, both of us ended up getting relegated, you know, Norwich and Sunderland. You think, you just can't see that happening now in any, you know, FA Cup final or the League Cup final these days, you know. It's a shame. I mean, I said it. The guy is trying to organise this get together, a dinner, and I said, well, I can't remember that. You know, when will Norwich be able to compete at that level again? You know, it's just a shame. Obviously, made it a great day for the fans. You know, that particular match.
Yeah, I mean, you sort of said earlier you can remember bits and bobs of it. What are the moments that really stand out that you can really remember from that day?
Well, the goal, you know, how John Dean sort of chased, I don't know if it was one of the centre-backs, Steve Bruce or Dave Watson, just sort of punted the ball forward, and it was going in the corner flag, and it was a young defender who was shepherding it out, and he should have just given away a throw-in, you know. He should have just kicked the ball out for a Norwich throw-in. But he dallied, and John Dean chased it right into the corner flag and retrieved it, and that's where it came from, you know. He came back, I think he gave it to Mick. Yeah, he gave it to Mick, and the ball squirted out to me, and I hit it like with my right foot, side foot, you know, and it just cannoned off. Well, it's being kind if you say his chest, I think it was his backside, or, you know, but that was it. So that's if you locks in, you locks in.
I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Because you know, again, spoke to Mark a minute ago, and he said it was definitely your goal. And you know, I think we've always credited it as your goal, and to Norwich fans, it is your goal. But officially, it goes down as an own goal. And I think nowadays, because it was on target, it would have been counted as your goal. So.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, even then, you know, that seemed to be the rule, but they did. That was one of the things as we're lining up, waiting for someone to kick off. You know, after the goal had been scored, it looked at the scoreboard and it had Norwich 1, Sunderland 0, goal scorer, and I thought, oh, my name's going to be up in lights here. Mm. And then it went Chisholm OG, you know, and I thought, oh, oh dear, because Shannon came up to us straight after the game. You know, he said, and he's, you know, Hampshire Burr, you know, are you going to cry? You're going to claim that goal, blah, 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 you know. I said, well, I don't know. You know, and you say, well, if you don't, I effing will, you know. Because so. Players could do that back then, you know. You didn't have the technology. As many a game I've scored. I've not scored. The team say, at Manchester City, Brian Kidd was probably the most guilty one for doing that. He'd run away with both arms raised, and you think, hang on, he's never touched it, it's not gone in. You know, he's just claiming. If it's a wrong goal, he's claiming it, you know. Mm. But as I say, there was, now you got, you know, you can pinpoint who, you know, if it was going on target or not. So that was quite strange.
I mean, is it something that is, I don't know, if bothered's the right word, because, I mean, you won the cup, and I'm sure that's the most important thing to you, but is it sort of in the years, it's like, oh, it's a shame that it wasn't credited to me, or is it something that you're fairly relaxed?
No, it doesn't bother me. You know, I was there and we won, and that was the main thing, you know, so, no, it's not like I'm going to write to the FA or the Football League or...
I mean, I guess to Norwich fans, they know it was your goal, and that's probably one of the most important things, right, in terms of that day and how it all unfolded. But you know, as you said, it's all very well and good scoring or not scoring, but it's about winning it. So the fact that you were involved in the goal, at least we can say that, you know, you won the game. That must make it all the more special.
It does, yeah. And I think we deserved it. Well, I'm pretty sure we deserved it. It was from what memories I do have, it was like competitive, as most games were then, you know, really sort of competitive. And but I think overall we were the better footballing team. You know, I don't want to disparage, you know, Sunderland, but I thought we were better on the day, and you know, probably deserved to win. We had a couple of other chances, you know. There was one of the other members, they almost scored in the first minutes. I can't think who it was. They had a shot, it just dipped over the bar, but it was definitely dipping. And you think that, you know, your heart's in your mouth, you know, hoping that it does. And it just flew over the bar. So there was, you know, there was chances. You know, we had chances there, chances. And Gary Bennett, he played the centre-back for Sunderland. I know his brother Dave Bennett played for Coventry and scored when they beat Spurs, wasn't it, in the cup final. But later, and you know, when we both finished, like, we played in charity teams together, you know, Gary Bennett, so always had to remind him, you know.
And I mean, obviously they missed a penalty as well. So when you know, you think about the shot in the first minute, you think about the missed penalty. I guess you know, the goal, the deflection, taking it in and whatnot. I guess it probably did just feel like your day, like Norwich's day.
That's right. Small margins indeed, isn't it? You know, was that the first? I think that was the first penalty missed at Wembley. Another thing that I remember to this day about just before the penalty, you know, was given with Dennis Van Wyk handball, and the referee, Neil Misley, I got to know him about it as well later on in life. Midge had given the penalty, you know, correctly. But just in a second or two after it had been given, the ball broke. You know, after Dennis had handled it, and I could see, Hodgson was the guy, Dave Hodgson. Him and I had a bit of a running battle during the game, and I thought, oh, he's going to have a free hit here, because the ball broke between us and I was able to get to it just to touch it round him, like kick it away, basically, before. And then I jumped to get out of the way of his tackle, because he was, you know, the ball, the referee stopped again. But it was just, you know, like the 2 or 3 seconds after it, I thought, oh, he's getting a free hit here, you know, so I had to touch the ball and jump out of the way. So that was that. But yeah, it didn't mean much to anybody, but I thought, oh, yeah, because we'd had a bit of a Barnley going on. You
know? Yeah, definitely. I mean, what can you remember about the full-time whistle going and the celebration? I mean, was it relief? Was it euphoria? Yeah. Was it a combination of
I think those? Because they'd put us... Yeah, I think it was relief towards the end, because they'd come back at us. And it just seemed... It was over on that far side. And the referee was sort of around the byline, you know, in line with the goal line. And it seemed a strange place to finish the game, because the ball was, I think it had just been cleared from our box. I think that was it. Because, I do remember that. And then that was it, you know. And probably a relief, because we're knackered, you know, like Shannon and myself, anyone else, have, 2 or 3 of us have, you know, classed as veterans.
I mean, on that point, I'm right in saying, isn't it, that was the second one that you'd won. You'd won with Manchester City as well. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So, I mean, was it as special, more special? I mean, what was the second time to the first?
I think with Norwich, because you know, at the age, you know, what would it be, 30, and 85, would be 30, 34, chances are slim of getting to the cup finals, you know, at that age. And so I think I appreciated it more. But I'd actually, because I'd played one in 1970, I played for West Bromwich Albion against Manchester City. And we lost at West Brom. Manchester City won that one. And then I played for Manchester City when we beat Newcastle. So I think I'm right, sir. I'm the only one that's played in 3 different League Cup finals. You know, I think so. Yeah, yeah. I think that came up somewhere last year. Yeah, and so the fact that I played when I was 19 at Wembley, you don't think you're going to be playing it, in your mid 30s, sort of thing. So it was. It was soured, obviously, at the end of the season when we both. Well, when we got relegated, you know, you can't take away the thrill of winning the cup at Wembley,
and you know, playing at Wembley and having however many Norwich fans, it was. I'm sure you had lots of family and friends in the crowd as well. It must have been, you know, a really special occasion to not just when the goal went in, but the full time whistle as well. The roar, the feeling around it, that must have been so special.
Yeah, it is satisfying. But it goes quickly, you know. I mean, people, the old, when I was younger playing, people say take it in, you know, because it goes really quick, you know, and it does, you know. So. You do appreciate it then. The older you become, and still lucky enough to be part of a winning side. So that was, it was great. And I think, you know, for Norwich, because, you know, they're not, so I suppose, well, especially nowadays, Manchester City and the bigger clubs are expected to win, but the likes of Norwich, you know, it was great for the underdog, you know.
And in terms of Ken and Mel, I mean, how much did you enjoy playing under those two? And how did they approach the final as well? Because I think Mark said you played Sunderland pretty soon before that game and lost 4-1. So I can imagine in many ways that must have been, I don't know, does that give you more nerves? Does it help you? I don't know.
I think it helps you because, you know, they'd obviously beaten us fairly easily. Is it 2 or 3 weeks before? But the two of them were good. You know, Ken is a good guy. You know, he's I'm not saying that before, you know, because he's poorly now, and Mel as well. But at the time, Ken was a good guy. Mel was like it was like good cop, bad cop. You know, like Mel was the enforcer. You know, like discipline and that. But he was good. Mel was good. It's a shame I've not been, you know, he's been poorly for a number of years, you know, so that is, but I remember, Mel would be like, not dour at all, you know, but that on that side, if you like, you know, but he was also good because he'd played the game. Both of them had played the game, and they have that respect, you know, from that standpoint. I mean, if this thing and hopefully goes ahead, then hopefully Ken will be well enough to attend, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, in terms of that dinner, I mean, to ask you a bit about that. How much are you looking forward to that being back, obviously, and seeing some of those people that were involved? I don't know how recently you've been back to Carrow Road, but you must be really looking forward to that element to it.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years. I went back. What's his name? Trevor Saunders. He was a goalkeeper, and it was a dinner. Football Against Dementia.
It
was 2 years ago or so. Went back, you know, that was good. And because there was a dinner, and then the guys who couldn't attend or ex-players, you know, not. I don't just mean ex-players that I played with, but other guys that are part of Norwich's history and all that. They'd send in videos, you know, and it was good because I was at the dinner and I heard that Hampshire buzz. I thought I turned around. Shannon's on the television, you know, with this video apologising for everything. Yeah, it is nice to catch up. Because I live in Blackburn. I live on my own. I've got kids and grandkids, and you know, I'm always busy. But I don't often see a lot of ex-players, you know, guys that I play with. So this would be a great opportunity, you know, to catch up with them.
And when you have seen those guys over the years, I can imagine this is something that comes up quite regularly, and it must be a bond that sort of all of you have, even now, you know, even so long after it happened, that you still have that connection with those people must be really nice.
It's good. It is good. I mean, I phoned Dave Watson. You know, he was the captain on the day, about this dinner, and I didn't have his number because you lose track of people, you know. Not any of the ex-players. So I've been given a few, and I'd sent him a great big long text, sort of saying, "What was that I said? Ah, yeah, straight away on the text, I just put, "Hi, Dave. It's Asa Hartford here," or as you seem to prefer, it's Richard. Because he used to answer the phone to me or speak to me, he'd call me Richard because it's my first name, but nobody knows it. You know what I mean? So that's all. So he came, the first thing he said is, "Hello, Richard," you know. And then you're straight back into it. Yeah, so it's great. It's good to catch up. Because, you know, we're all 40 years, you're all getting older, you know. So. And sadly, John Dean won't be there, and he was the one, made the goal. It's a shame that he won't be there. I speak to John Devine, you know, he was a sub. We text more. John's back in Ireland. I don't know where, but he is, you know, he's back in Ireland. So I keep in touch. I think it was last year, 2 years ago, I was able to, he was talking about, or we were talking about, you know, good players at that, and he mentioned Liam Brady. Mm-hmm. I said, "Oh, John," I said, "you've got it." I think he was in his company, or he'd just been in his company, and I said, "Oh, we apologised to him, because I remember, like, for some misdeed that I did, you know, 4 years ago or so, you know." And they came back the next day, says, "Oh yeah," he said, "forget it, you were a great player, blah blah," you know. So I suppose that I've not really been in touch with Liam Brady, but between John Devine I have, you know. So I was able to apologise for some, you know.
That's good. That is good. Yeah. I mean, how much do you remember of the, like, the civic reception that happened afterwards and being on the bus and with all the fans? I mean, I can imagine there was a few sore heads, or maybe it hadn't got to the stage yet where there were sore heads. But, I mean, how much do you remember about that day and all those people on the streets in Norwich?
I remember that, and I just dreaded it. I thought, "Oh, crap," because we're up there at the town hall, you know, the town hall of the civic, you know. And I thought, "Oh God, please don't stick a microphone under my nose," you know. That's more, you know, the worry that you might have to say something in front of people. But it was great. It was great being on the bus. And actually, it was funny because that Football Against Dementia dinner. We travelled back to Norwich on the open, on the bus, the original bus, you know, the old-fashioned bus, you know. So, funnily enough, I'll have to get a picture of that because my, see, I've got 7 grandchildren and my youngest daughter, she's got 3 boys. The twin boys are 6 and the other boy's 8. Mm-hmm. And, they, you know, they love football and all that. So if I was to show them that bus, they would just kill themselves, you know, old-fashioned, you know. Yeah, it's quite... But it was brilliant and great for the town, obviously, you know, I think, you know.
Yeah,
but I used to have to travel down. I lived in Cheshire at the time, and because I joined in September, I played for Manchester City and then I was released and I went to the States and played for 5 months in Fort Lauderdale. You know, it wasn't, there used to be a team called Fort Lauderdale Strikers, but they had disbanded and this was a new Fort Lauderdale Sun. So I went out there, it was like a holiday and getting paid, you know. So it was great because that previous season I'd had, the only time I had a bit of an injury that kept us out for, you know, a month or two, an ankle injury. So it was great to get fit. And I played about 28, 30 games in the States. And then I came back and I had no club to go to, you know. So a guy that I played with, had become an agent and he must have spoke to Ken. I don't know for sure. He must have done it. And then that's how I turned up at Norwich. I think it was a monthly contract and it just signed up. It was really, I'm sure it was a monthly contract or at the most, it was definitely just to the end of that season, you know. I think I would have had to have signed every month. But so that meant, I had to travel.
Mm.
So if there was, if the games were Saturday, I would train. I'd stay up in the northwest. Excuse me. And I used to train at either Oldham or Manchester United because I knew the guy who took the reserves at Manchester United is a guy called Brian Whitehouse,
mm-hmm.
and he'd been the first team coach at West Brom when I was there years before. So he let me go into United and train with the reserves. Or Joe Royal was a manager at Oldham, and mm-hmm. So it was good. It would never happen these days, wouldn't be able to do that. And then I'd travel down on a Wednesday morning, you know, leave my house in Winslow at 4 o'clock, you know, and then I used to travel. I had a Ford Fiesta, which, you know, had a hairdryer that had a bigger engine than the car. My God. I used to do like a 4-hour journey, whichever way you looked at it, you know.
Yeah, it's a long way, isn't it? It's a long way.
Oh, I've tried every different.
I bet, yeah, I bet. I'm all right in saying as well, sort of 10 years ago or ish, you came back to Norwich as a scout. Is that right? And
yes, yeah, I did, yeah. Was that with
Chris Shuton?
Yeah, Chris. But the guy who was oh my God, what's his name? He's just going to. Scottish, oh my God, he'll kill me. Chris Ewan's.
Oh, is it Chester? I can't remember his first name.
Yes, Ewan.
Ewan Chester,
He used to be at Rangers and then he was working with Chris at different clubs, you know. Yeah, so I did that, yeah. That was, it probably is about 10 years because it was all right. Yeah.
I mean, did that allow you to sort of get hands-on, or was it one of these where you were sort of away from the club and sort of spent a lot of time?
Oh, no, I wasn't. I was never... You're not at the club. You just watch games and then come back and do reports online and stuff like that, you know, and send it in like that. Or I'd probably speak to you and what, you know, rather... Because the managers... Chris is a nice guy as well, but he's... the managers have got, you know, 50 people wanting to talk to them and... Oh God, I don't know how they do it, like with agents and, you know.
Me neither. No, me neither.
Yeah. Oh, you're getting pestered right, left and centre, you know.
But I'm sure that was nice for you when the opportunity came to go back to Norwich. Even though you weren't there, you know, it must be nice to be sort of still involved with the club.
Yeah, that's right. It was. And I met, the lady who owns them, Delia,
yeah, yeah.
Or who used to, I don't know who owns them now, but yeah, I met her on the cover because there was one of the games I went to. They were up, they were playing at Wigan, that was it. Norwich were playing up at Wigan, and I met up with them and had lunch, you know, so that was nice, you know, just to catch up with two or three of them. Although I dare say the boardroom's different nowadays, you know.
It's 40 years. I mean, can you believe that? I bet in some ways it feels like yesterday.
Yeah, it does. Well, I think nearly all the boys will remember the day pretty much as it went, really. But 40 years seems a long time, I've got to say. But obviously we're still proud of what we've done.
Yeah, and I guess the fact that it still gets spoken about today, and it's obviously still the last major tournament that the club won, I guess it's still pretty special, isn't it? Probably as special now as it was back then.
I think so. I mean, all the fans would be in exactly the same way. I would have thought, that our first ever major trophy, and obviously we've won divisional medals, but never a major trophy, and we haven't won one since. So, I think the euphoria is still there, really.
Yeah, it must be really strange because obviously, clearly, you know, all of us would have liked Norwich to have won another one, but in many ways, it makes it more special that they haven't. In a way, it makes that one feel even more special, I guess. So it's kind of a bittersweet sort of thing, isn't it? Really, when you look back on it.
It is really, because you think that you will push on once you've made your first major trophy. Obviously, to us, that was just something completely and utterly special, but you expect the club to perhaps push on and maybe get one or two more. And it's been a shame that we've never really capitalised on that and made another one, really.
Your memories of the day then, is there anything that when you think back to it really stands out in your mind? I can imagine there's probably so much, but is it one of those where you can remember a lot of the day, you can remember sort of bits of it?
I think you remember most of the day was rememberable, you know, from the time you walk out onto the pitch with, you know, 40 plus thousand Norwich City fans, which is just special. We played them the week before and they beat us 4-1 at home. So we were a little bit nervous, obviously, to play them again, but we felt we couldn't play as badly as we did the week before. during the game, I had two or three good chances, and one of my abiding memories was, you know, a minute, 2 minutes to go when the ball was crossed in and I hit a volley from the outside of the box and it just went over the bar. Well, that would have been nice if it had gone in, because everybody dreams of scoring at Wembley. But also that wasted a few extra seconds for us to get nearer to the whistle blowing and us winning.
And that moment, as you say, where you walk out at Wembley and you've got that sea of yellow and green and all of those fans there. I mean, it that must have been a feeling that even now you sort of, I don't know, maybe is it a feeling that you've ever had again walking out like that? Was it so nervous that you were unable to take it in? I mean, what was that like? Because obviously most of us won't ever get to do that, unfortunately.
I think the hair still stands on the back of your neck when you even think about it. So you can imagine how bad it was on that day when you're walking over. And it's a long walk from the changing rooms across the sandy track and all the sand and everything else to get to the pitch. So, it took a little bit of a time. But, that time gives you fantastic memories because you get all that time to have a look around and you can see everything that's going on.
Was it nerves? Was it excitement? Was it a mixture of the two as a player? Because I can imagine, you know, any final really, because of how big they are, and particularly at Wembley, particularly in front of all of those people, feel massive anyway. So, yeah, sort of, can you remember how you felt on that day walking out and during the game as well? And at what point did you maybe settle a little bit?
I think I was always fine on a match day. I was more nervous the night before because you sort of think about what's going to go on the next day. But once you actually walk onto the pitch, you're changed, you're ready to go, and the whistle goes, everything stops in your head, and you do what you're good at, and that's what was the most exciting part, was when you're playing, actually getting to play the whole 90 minutes at Wembley was. Well, it's a dream for most football players. So, and to run out in the Twin Towers, which was just such a shame that they're not there anymore. It was just a gift, really. It was, and I enjoyed every second.
And what about your memories of the goal? Talk me through that, because I can imagine, you know, your position on the pitch would have been very unique as that went in, and the feelings afterwards.
Well, I was actually right behind Ali, when he hit it. So we'd knocked it. We were under a little bit of pressure, and someone knocked it in over the top of Venison, I think. And he tried to let it go out, and Dixie come from nowhere about 30 yards away and from his blind side, flicked it through his legs and went across the byline, pulled it back to Mickey Shannon, who got tackled in the box, and it rolled out to Acer, and he hit, you know, what was a good shot, which was going in, but obviously hit Gordon Chisholm and shot in the other side of the goal. Not that we were bothered at the time, but I think Acer would have got the, I think Acer would have been given the goal now because it was on target. So, but you know, when it did, it was quite weird because we all ran to Dixie rather than run into Acer. So, but you know, I mean, Dixie made the goal, and you know, Acer's will always be held at, we'll always hold him for the one that scored the goal that won the cup.
Yeah, absolutely. And clearly, you know, you had to ride out some pressure as well, the penalty in the second half and all of that. So, I mean, what stage did it really enter your mind of, oof, you know, we could win this, or we're close, or did it never until that sort of final whistle went, really?
Well, I don't think you can ever say that you're going to win. But we did feel like we were pretty comfortable. The obviously, the penalty was just sort of out of the ordinary on the day for something that Dennis probably still couldn't even tell you why he done it. You know, he's rolling away from the ball and he just stuck his arm out. And but then you'd have to say that Chrissy Woods would probably have saved it if it had been inside the post. So yeah, we never really felt under pressure during the game, but you have to play the whole 90 minutes. So you can never count it until that whistle goes.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, I'll ask you about Ken. I mean, how did he sort of leading into the game, how did he set you up? What was his approach to it? Because, you know, it clearly, whatever he said, it worked. And you said it, you went from losing 4-1 against them to beating them 1-0. So did he play on that a little bit? Did he ignore it? I mean, what was his approach before the game?
Yeah, I think between Ken and Mel Machin, you know, we sort of had a nice man, bad man relationship with the two. And Ken was more obviously the nicer man. And he spent all week trying to build us up. And obviously I was hoping that I was going to play because I'd been out for quite a long period of time. And he was trying to build every player up to make sure that they were ready to go. And Mel was saying to us, you know, you can't play as bad this week as you played last week, and get your heads on. And, you know, this is the most important thing you'll ever do. And let's go out there and make sure that we do everything we should do. And if we do that, we'll probably come away with a win.
And did it help, do you think, the fact that you played them the week before and whatnot? Is that something that you guys as players used? As you say, I can imagine there probably was an element of nervousness, but then I guess you also kind of knew what to expect and what was coming from Sunderland.
Yeah, and I think that the one thing we did do during the week was work on making sure that Dave Hodgson was not allowed to roam like he did the week before, which we did quite well, although he just dipped one over the bar after about a minute. But after that, I think we held him and the likes of Clive Walker and that to a minimum attacking threat, where we were, or we felt we were quite a big attacking threat.
How much were you aware as a player at the time of the friendliness, I guess, between the fans? It's clearly something that historically has been remembered. We've still got the friendship trophy that exists that was sort of born out of that fixture. Were you aware of that stuff going on the day as a player? Is it something that sort of came to light to you in the days afterwards? Although I can imagine they were maybe a bit busy for you, so maybe it would have been the weeks afterwards.
Well, we didn't really sort of, I mean, especially on the day, we realised how friendly the fans were together, playing football in the car park and things like that, and actually when we left, how they clapped us when we left and things like that, which was, you know, they're devastated that they've just lost the trophy, and but they still had the foresight to clap us when we left, which was, you know, magnanimous. And out of that was born, you know, it was called the friendly final, and then they made the cup to play for every year. And I thought that was a really good idea.
Yeah, and there's always been a really good relationship between the clubs because of that, hasn't there? And the fact that sort of stood the test of time, even now, is pretty, you know, pretty special, really, in terms of modern football. And we think about how tribal it is. It's nice that still exists.
Yeah, and I think, you know, both sets of fans are renowned as being football educated fans, and we've been lucky at Norwich to have such great fans, and I think they're lucky at Sunderland to have such, you know, massive amounts of great fans, and it's great for the two clubs to actually still be together, sort of thing.
When the final whistle went, I mean, what can you remember of that? Was it relief? Was it joy? Was it all of those things, I guess? And the celebrations afterwards. I mean, you see the pictures, you see some of the footage now. I mean, that must have been a hell of a thing to be involved in.
Yeah, I mean, you're desperate for the final whistle to go, and then when it goes, you're not really sure whether you're supposed to run around jumping on people or whether you should just pray on the floor or things like that. But yeah, I mean, I think we jumped about a bit, and then we sort of thanked everybody, thanked ourselves for making sure that we got where we wanted to go. Ken come running on the pitch, Mel was all over the place. And then you just looked at the fans around the stadium, and they were just up and down. It was awesome. And then you get to walk up the steps at Wembley, which not many people get to do. We were able to do that.
At what stage for you did it sink in at what you'd done? Was it immediately? Was it sort of in the days afterwards where you sort of could sit back and go, wow, that really happened, and what a big achievement that was? Did it happen pretty quickly, or was it something that maybe has never happened? I don't know.
I think it was, I don't think it was on the day, because you were so euphoric that, I think we were about 40 minutes walking around the pitch just to say thank you to the fans. And then obviously we had a little drink in the evening, and then perhaps to travel back, coming back into Norwich on the day afterwards, when all the fans were over bridges and things like that, when you're coming through, was just, I mean, I think that really settles at home that you've just won something, which was, you know, awesome.
And I mean, for you, you know, you clearly achieved a lot in your career, playing for England, no less than that. I mean, where does it rank for you in terms of your career and all your achievements that day and winning that with Norwich City?
Well, I think obviously playing for your country is the one thing that you'll ever want to do. But at the end of the day, I was a club player. And Norwich City was my club. I still live in Norwich. And I still think that would probably be the number one thing in my career. I mean, obviously getting caps is just brilliant to play for your own country. And you would never belittle it. But for a Norwich City to win a major trophy it's got to be the highlight of your career.
And did you have a lot of family there on the day? Was it one where you had loads and loads of tickets and people there who were at the game that were obviously related to you and friends with you and whatnot? And did that make it more special?
Yeah, I think that did. I mean, let's be fair, in them days, we're still standing, and there was 90,000 tickets to be had. So I probably think it was around about 100 people that was at the game for me, which you'd never get today. So it was just superb, and you know, when you're doing it in front of your own family, that just makes it even more special.
And I mean, how special was that group of players? Because I can imagine when you achieve something like that, there is a bond that's formed between all of you. And, you know, I'm sure you've seen these guys throughout the years, and it's still spoken about and it's still mentioned. So as a group, how special was that?
Yeah, I think that in them days, the camaraderie and team spirit between players at Norwich was just second to none, I think. And obviously, we still talk to everybody that played in that game and in that run itself, because other people didn't get to make the final. And we had such a camaraderie, and we said we played together, we drank together, we ate together. It was just like that. And when you get to see them now, you can. It's just like being back 40 years.
Yeah, I mean, there's some brilliant footage on YouTube, which I'm sure you've seen, of the reception at City Hall and with all of those people out. I mean, that must have been in many ways as surreal as the final, I guess, to have all of those people in the middle of Norwich celebrating what you guys had done, coming out to see you all. I mean, what sort of your memories, if any? Because I can maybe appreciate that there were a few drinks had probably at that point. But what were your memories of that day and how special it was?
well, we said we abiding memory was it took about 3.5 hours to get around the old outer ring road. There was thousands upon thousands of fans, and it managed to dump on us for 3.5 hours. But we never sort of noticed the rain whatsoever. And honestly, when you pulled round into the city centre and saw the town hall and the market with, you know, 20, 30, 40,000 Norwich fans, was just special.
And I mean, obviously, to sort of bring this full circle, as you say, you're Norwich based and watch Norwich a lot. I guess what do you make of it currently and at the minute? Clearly, you know, the game's changed and there's so much more money in it now. And it's a shame, really, that we don't see, I guess, obviously Newcastle won it, which is great for them to end at a massive hoodoo, but we don't see the sort of change, do we? We don't see the different clubs winning those competitions as much anymore, and that feels like a little bit of a shame compared to maybe the 80s, the 70s, and whatnot, where there was a lot more differentiation between who won it and whatnot.
Yeah, I think in the game today, obviously the money talks, and you know, the top six are always going to be the ones vying for the trophies, I believe, and you know, it was nice to see Newcastle win the other day. You know, when you talk about Newcastle and you think that that's been 70 years since they won something, and only 40 since we've won something, so that was nice to see. And the game today is totally different, you know, and they play on special pitches, and you know, I'm not over enamoured with the play out from the back way to play a game of football, but you know, it's technically, some of the players are just amazing. Norwich have done exceptionally well with the amount of money that you've got to find all the time to be competing, and they're still competing. And I still think that we will have the chance to go back up into the Premiership. And going forward, you know, they'll need to just be more consistent, especially this year. We've shown that perhaps our squad is not as big as we thought it was. And, you know, when we get down to losing 3 or 4 of our best players, we're nowhere near as strong as we should be.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, because it feels like we've seen almost, and that it's been the inconsistency, I think, hasn't it, that's been frustrating, because we've seen this Norwich team at its very best when they score goals and they put 6 past Plymouth and all those big wins they've had at Carrow Road. And that side of them probably makes it as frustrating when they're not so good, because the fans and everyone else can see what this team is capable of. We just haven't probably seen it consistently enough this year.
Yeah, and every time that we've gone on a really good run, we've lost 2 or 3 of our best players. And what consequence comes from that is, you know, you draw a couple and lose a couple, and then you lose the momentum that you already had. We've done it at least 2 or maybe 3 times this season, where we've lost top players when we didn't really need to. And that's shown us that, you know, perhaps we do need a 20-man squad that's as good as everybody else to get us where we need to go, which is, you know, like everyone, we all want to be back in the Premiership.
Borja Sainz as well, I mean, it would be remiss of me not to ask you about him as a winger. What have you made of his season? It's been some goal scoring season for him, hasn't it?
It's been fantastic. I mean, the little fella is inspirational when you watch him play, and this year he's come out of his shell. And obviously the goals have gone in for him, and then just been, you know, tapping goals either, have they? They've just been special goals as well. And, you know, I think that in itself shows you what it was like when we lost him for 6 games, what happened. And he's only just beginning to find his form again since we've lost him. So we lost him really for 10, 11 games rather than 6. And, you know, I mean, I hold him in the highest esteem. He, you know, top goal scorer in the league. It's just, you know, something you wouldn't expect from someone you didn't pay any money for. So
yeah,
it's amazing. So yeah, I mean, all well to him. He's had a fantastic season for us.
Yeah, and I bet, like most fans, you're worried with the summer coming up, and obviously last year of his contract, just how well he's done. I mean, there's bound to be interest in him, isn't there, this summer, you would think?
You'd be very surprised if there wasn't interest in him. And it just depends then on what the club can come up with, and whether, you know, Borgen wants to further his career somewhere else or likes to stay here. I mean, at the end of the day, he's done exceptionally well here. He's a big player in a small pool. And, enjoys the football here. He gets a lot of the ball. And, you know, if you go to a bigger club, that doesn't always happen for you.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. Thanks, Mark.